Morning. Today we conclude a two-lesson series on the Sermon on the Mount. The lesson today that I entitled, Giving Shows Who I Really Am. What have you given to God this week? As we just think about our personal lives and, you know, really we know more about us than anybody save God. What did you show about yourself when you gave just a few moments ago? If everything that God knew about you came from what you give, what does He know about you? What does it show Him in regards to you? What kind of a person would you appear to be in the eyes of God? You know, we often judge people by what they give, by what they do for others and what they do for us. We say things like, He gave so much to us in our time of need. We need more people like Him. Or we say something like, she is the kind of person who always has time for everybody else, and if you need her, she's there. What a wonderful lady. So we make a judgment about people and we assign a character to people based on not what they say, but what they do and what they give in their lives. Words are often hollow, but actions are a window to our hearts. Last week we examined how we are to view wealth. Wealth is, as we talked about, an easy God. It is very easy for wealth to become the God of our lives. And that is why the Bible, I think, spends nearly 2,000 verses, and one out of every 10 verses in the gospel accounts, dealing with wealth and how we are to deal with it. You know, many apparently faithful Christians are like the rich young ruler that we talked about last week. They lack one thing. They love money more than they love God. And if they do not overcome that one thing that they lack, then like the rich young ruler, they're going to find themselves very sorrowful one day because they had much and gave little. You know, we have to ask ourselves the question today, do we use God and love money, or do we use money and love God, right? The truest test of whether we are in the same category of that as that rich young ruler has to be and always will be our giving. Once again, as I said last week, these lessons are not about having bigger numbers out there on the contribution board in the foyer. You know, what we're doing here and what these lessons are driving at is us being what Jesus Christ wants us to be individually. A part of that must deal with the manner in which we give. The manner in which we give not only of our material goods, but also of our energies and of our time. Giving is a powerful force in our life. Winston Churchill once said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." We show people the kind of life that we have by what we give. Our life will be the kind of life that God wants it to be when that life is given to giving. There are four reasons why we as children of God should give. Number one, giving is an expression of love. We are called to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Paul makes it clear that everything that we do spiritually is absolutely and completely worthless if we do not have love. Even if we give our lives for the gospel, we do not have love, it profits us nothing. You know, it was once said that you can love, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I've known people that gave things that I don't think they really gave out of love, but I've never known anybody that truly loved that wasn't a giving person. John chapter 3 and verse 16, we see the ultimate example of giving from our God in heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave something from that love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 1 John chapter 4 both say that God's love was manifested. It was made clear. It was made apparent. It was made visible by what He gave. It was one thing to say, I love you, but it was another thing to give something as a result of that love. It made a difference. It made the love powerful. We give to and we sacrifice for our children. For one reason only. Because we love our children so much. We will give our children anything we have because of that love. In the story of the Good Samaritan, which some consider to be a true story and possibly even an event known to the hearers that Jesus was speaking it to that day, it demonstrates the giving nature of the kind of person that Christ calls us to be. As we look at that story, we see this Samaritan man. And he is a man who has kindness that is obviously being driven by a love in his heart for all people. And he sees this person that has been beaten up. And he takes him and he cares for him. And not only does he just take him and care for him, but he takes him to an inn. He puts him there and even pays for any additional help that the man might need. He was a man whose love was demonstrated by what he gave. And Jesus finished that parable with, "Go and do the same." Love. Love people. Give as a result of the love that you have for the people around you. Just like the Good Samaritan, the brethren of the churches in Macedonia loved their brethren and were eager to give help to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, Paul says, "Then in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed." How many times do you hear poverty overflowing? I love that terminology. "Their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth," this contrast in what he's saying, "overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." A lot like the widow, right? Her poverty overflowed in her liberality. It showed wealth in her. "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints." They gave beyond their abilities because of love. And I love what it says there. Paul wasn't having to, he was having to talk to the Corinthian brethren about giving, right? But he wasn't having to talk to the Macedonian brethren about giving. They were begging Paul, "Let us give! We want to give. Let us be a part. Let us give something to this." They wanted to give. They weren't having to be told to give. It was a part of this natural expression of love that flowed from their lives to the lives of the brethren that they knew were in need. You know, parents do the same thing. We give everything we have. And we give everything and more that we have for our children. I can't remember who it was, and this happens often in my life, but we were talking about Mayo Clinic this week, and somebody was telling me about some parents who had literally just mortgaged everything to get their child treatment there, a treatment that he needed so badly. In fact, it so touched the doctors that the doctors said, "We will waive our fees and just take what you have to give us, and we will take your son." Those parents would give anything and sell everything and mortgage everything if it meant the life of their child. That's the kind of love that God has for us and we should have for Him and for others. At the end of chapter 8 that we just read in 2 Corinthians, Paul told them that through their giving, they could show the proof of their love to the brethren. Our giving to God is our proof of love to Him. It is a proof of the love that we have for Him. It is the proof of love that we have for our brethren and for the lost of this world. What you give is a direct statement about how much you love God. How much does what you give tell God you love Him? No, giving is also, this morning, a measure of our thankfulness to God. Are you thankful to God this morning? Really, truly thankful? Have you taken time out of your busy schedule just to meditate on what God has done? Have you taken time, as the song says, to count your many blessings, name them one by one? There's value in that. How do you express that thanksgiving? Is it with a simple thank you to God in prayer? Is that all that thanksgiving should be in our lives? Is just, "God, thank you"? Should there be more to our thanksgiving than a simple verbal acknowledgement that God gave this and we're appreciative of Him giving it, and that's it? That's all I'm going to do. That's all that my thanksgiving is about. Is that really what God wants from us as people that are thankful to Him for all that He has done? Like love or faith, the heart of thanksgiving implies more than words and simple acknowledgements. When a person truly loves someone, as we just mentioned, they will give, they will do, they will Show actions that are appropriate to that love. When a person has faith, they will give their lives in obedience to Jesus Christ. Faith without that is worthless. It's nothing. It's dead, as James tells us. And our thanksgiving must be shown as well in the action of giving, or it is, like faith, worthless without works. In 1 Samuel 1, there was a woman named Hannah. And she had been unable to bear children for her husband Elkanah. And she was there at the temple, or the tabernacle, and she was praying to God for a child. And she promised God, "I will give this child to you." And God answered her prayer and gave her a son. And at the time in which she weaned him, somewhere between the ages of 3 and 5 years old, imagine this, mothers, she took her son to the tabernacle and she gave him to Eli the high priest, to God. Let me tell you what, if you looked at Eli's sons, you saw what kind of a parent he was, I'm not sure I'd want to leave my child with that man. But this wasn't about Eli, this was about her and God, wasn't it? God will take care of Samuel. She knew that, she believed that. We know Samuel and what a great man that he became in his life. And it all began, as great a man as Samuel was, it all began with one woman's thanksgiving to God and her willingness to give the most precious thing in her life to Him. Moms and dads, we need to give our children to God. We need to make sure that that's the one thing we give so that they can find God and faith in Him and salvation. Now, we do not give anything to God that approaches the value of one of our children oftentimes. Yet this is how Hannah chose to express her thanks to God. She knew how weak simply saying thank you to God was in comparison to the gift that He had given. And imagine how weak it is in comparison to the gift that He's given in His Son. A couple once heard of a man and woman who gave a sizable contribution to the church. And they gave this sizable contribution to the church in memory of their son that had died in the war. And during the announcement that was made during the worship service, she whispered to her husband, "Let's give that same amount for our boy." And the husband said, "What do you mean, honey? Our son did not die in the war." She said, "I know. Let's give it because God saved him from death. That we're thankful for what He did in bringing him home safely to us." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord." We often just use this text, and sometimes we get myopic with text, and this one's always just about, you know, singing or instrumental music, but we miss out on some of the other things that are in this verse as well. Singing with thankfulness in your heart. The reason we sing, the reason we teach and admonish one another in song and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the reason why you've been singing this morning is because of your thankfulness to the one you're singing to. It's an action that is expressed in your thanksgiving to God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the writer of Hebrews writes, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." You see, all that we do to serve God comes from gratitude for Him and for what He has done. Gratitude is born out of love. That because of the love that God first showed to us, we have great gratitude to Him. That love that He showed to us in sending His only begotten Son, that love that was manifested in Jesus Christ. Our level of service, according to Hebrews chapter 12, will be proportional to our gratitude to God. Therefore, it stands to reason that our giving is going to be related to the thanksgiving that exists within our hearts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 states, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." An attitude of thankfulness should be at the heart of everything we do in service to God. I mean, He's not saying just be thankful for everything, because there's things that we're not thankful to God for because they're bad things. They're not things that God gave. They're sinful things out there. But in everything we do for God, we do because of thanksgiving. Those things are good. Those things are right. Those are things worthy of our thanksgiving. Those are things that have come from us as a result of Him. So they've come forth from our thanksgiving. Sometimes we do not even know at times why we should be thankful for some things. Corrie ten Boom in her book, The Hiding Place, relates an incident which taught her this principle. She and her sister, Betsy, had just been transferred to a German prison camp. One of the worst prison camps that they had in Ravensbrück. And upon entering the barracks, they found them to be extremely overcrowded. And if you've ever seen pictures of the Holocaust, you've seen where they just were basically stacked in these small little buildings like cordwood. But not only was it overcrowded, but it was filled with fleas. Completely and utterly infested with fleas. Upon entering the barracks on that first evening, they had a smuggled-in Bible that they took out. And they started to read. And they were reading from 1 Thessalonians, and they read from that smuggled Bible, and it reminded them to rejoice always, to pray constantly, to give thanks in all circumstances, right? And Betsy told that Corey, she told Corey to stop and to thank the Lord for their where they were living. Think about that a moment. And she said, and so she went through different aspects of where they were living, you know, got a roof over my head and things like that. But then Corey said, I'm not going to give thanks for these fleas. But Betsy said, no, you give. And she kept pressing her, you give thanks for the fleas too. And she finally did. She gave in and she gave thanks for the fleas. And they continued and they never really understood why they were able to have Bible studies and prayer in their little prison there. Why they were able to do that without guard interference. The guards interfered in any other kind of activity that had to do with God or anything like that. But come to find out when they were released, they found out that the reason the guards never went in their building is because they didn't want to be in the fleas. See, sometimes we don't even realize how God's blessing us, right? They were able to continue to read God's Word, to pray to God, to have a time in which they could spiritually focus on God because of fleas. Oh, what God does for us and we never even see. We never even realize or think about in our lives. Giving, as we have prospered, as 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 states, can only happen when we truly see and understand through gratitude all that God has truly given to us. Someone once said, if one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there were particles of iron in it, I might look for them with my clumsy fingers and be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep through it, and it would draw to itself the most invisible particles. The unthankful heart, like my finger in the sand, discovers no mercies. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find all the heavenly blessings that are there. They will be drawn to us. We will see them in everything that God has given to us. Does your actions demonstrate your thankfulness to God? Does your giving truly say, thank you? You know, generous giving also brings us closer to the nature of God than we can ever be in any other way. Shortly after World War II came to a close, Europe began picking up the pieces, and much of England and most of all the European countries were decimated by the bombings and the war that ravaged the land. And in London, there was a little skinny boy that was living on the street, and he was standing in front of a bakery, and he was looking in there as the big croissants and stuff came out of the oven and were placed there, and he was fogging up the glass in front of that store. And a U.S. soldier was driving by in his Jeep, and he saw him, and he stopped, and he got out and said, son, would you like one of those? He said, oh, yeah. So the soldier went inside, and he bought 12. Had them put in a bag, and he brought them back out, and he gave them to the little boy, and he said, here you go, and he walked off, and the little boy said, sir, are you God? Because see, giving is God. There is nothing that shows God more than kind, generous, and love-motivated giving in our lives. We are never more like God than when we live. I mean, when we give, I'm sorry. Maybe one of the reasons that it is more blessed to give than to receive is because that action, more than anything else, is God in us. Is God being shown through us. God's greatest act was an act of giving. And if we are going to be His people, if we are going to be like Him, we have to be people whose acts are acts of giving. Giving to others. Agape love is the heart of giving. You know, God gives to us grace and love and peace and mercy, forgiveness and blessings beyond what we know or can even begin to imagine. And that's just to name a few things. We truly serve a living God. And we can never truly be like Him until we are generous and until we are giving as He is generous and giving to us. By our giving, we become instruments as well of His blessings to others. Do you realize that? And sometimes God gives to people through you. See, He can only do that if you're willing to give. If you're willing to be an active participant in His blessings that He gives to others. But He can't work with an unthankful heart. He can't work with a person who is not generous. He can't work with a person like the rich young ruler who would rather have his riches than to be a follower of God. Last of all, giving is an act of faith on the part of every Christian. Last week we saw the poor widow and her entire fortune of 2 copper pieces that she gave to God. And what she gave to God was an expression of her great faith. And while those 2 small copper pieces could do very little for her life, she knew that God could do great things in her life. You know, Tom told me something that I thought was very insightful about the story of the widow, that she placed her money in that container that was for various types of maintenance at the temple. And yet, all those riches that were placed in that thing for the temple, and the temple was destroyed 40 years after that. All that money was wasted. And yet, those 2 mites, those 2 copper coins, God turned into a fortune, didn't He? Think of all the people that have given to God following her example. Over the hundreds of years, the centuries that have passed since, those 2 copper pieces have brought probably more money and possessions and material goods to the Lord's work than anything else. The example of a simple woman lives on to today. And all the gold and all that was given to the temple are gone. We are still motivated today. I'm still motivated today by the gift of that simple woman there in the temple that day. I look at what she gave and I look at what I give and I go, I'm still not there. I'm not with her yet. I'm not in her league yet. She's still above me. She's still better than me. She makes me want to do better and do more. Her gift was an act of faith in God and what He can do. And our gifts could be responsible for the works of God for decades. There is a song called Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And it's about someone who had a dream about going to heaven and people thanking them for helping them find Christ. One verse of the song says, then another man came before me and said, remember the time the missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took that gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. We don't always see the full effects of what we give. We don't see all that grows from the seed we sow in our lives sometimes. And what we give could lead people to Christ, and those people could bring countless numbers of others to Christ, and you will have had a hand in that. It will be a part of your spiritual legacy that may far go beyond your life. And you may never see all the fruits of it, and you probably will not. But if you do not give, you will not be a part of that. Our lives are given to one thing, and that is bringing souls to Christ Jesus. And you know what? May it be said of us that though we are dead, yet we still speak. Like it was said of Abel. That he continued to speak, just as the widow continues to speak to this very day. Why? Because of what she gave. Now, we also seem to think that taking care of our needs is all up to us, and therefore we are hesitant to give because we're afraid that somewhere down the line we might need it. I remember being at a congregation one time and we had all this money in the bank and we weren't doing anything. And I said, why? Well, one man said, well, the air conditioner might go out. And the other man said, we might need to redo the roof. It might help. I said, where's your faith? There's 100 different things you could come up with in your mind that you might need that money for. But God says, I will take care of you. Do you believe Matthew chapter 6 or not? that I will feed you, I will clothe you, I will give you the things that you need. He said, if you will seek me first, I will do that for you. Not money first, him first. The widow sought God first. I believe her needs were met. Bible doesn't record it, but I believe it because I know God and how He is related to me in Scripture. The Macedonians that we read about in a moment ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I didn't go on to read the rest of it, but it says the reason they were the way they were, the reason they wanted to give, they begged to give, they gave more than they had, was that they had first given themselves to the Lord. Seek me first. Everything else will take care of itself. God will take care of it for you. If we have faith in God, we will give because we will trust in Him. You know, in the parable of the talents, God gave more to those who had rendered the most faithful service. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 that if we sow sparingly like the one talent man, we do very little with what we've been given. We give very little back to God. Then we are going to reap very sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, if we give much back, if we do much in regards to what God has given to us, we will reap bountifully, just as the man with the five talents did. We have that opportunity. That is up to us whether we find great spiritual blessings from our giving or whether we find very little from it. If you find very little from your giving, I can guarantee you it's not because of God. If you find very little from worship this morning or any other time, I can guarantee you it's not because of God. It is something we need to look at ourselves in regards to. Does your giving show that you trust God? Or does it show that you trust yourself to take care of the things that you need in your life? In conclusion this morning, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce." You know, a certain businessman had a good year and placed $10,000 check in the offering plate. And the very next day, there was a big fire and his warehouse was completely destroyed and he was on the verge of financial ruin. And some of the brethren thought, you know, we know he gave this great check to us and we know what kind of trouble he's in financially. We need to see if we can help him. They went and they talked to him and they said, "Here's your check back. We didn't cash it because we know you probably need it now with what you've suffered." And the man said, "You know, you're right." And he took the check and he tore it in half and he opened up his checkbook and he wrote one for $20,000 and gave it back to them and said, "Guess I'm going to need the Lord's blessing now more than ever, right? Who do I look to when I need? Me or God? Who do I trust?" My friends, we need the Lord's blessing more than ever so that we can turn our community, our nation, and our world back to God. Our giving must include both our materials, our time, and our money so that those things can be accomplished. That's why we give. We give that God's purposes might be accomplished because we're thankful to Him that His purposes has saved us. And now there's millions, in fact billions of people that need that same salvation. We will do it. As we've repeatedly said here, and I love this saying, and I remember it the very first time I saw your website, we talk about for the glory of God, right? We're growing for the glory of God. If we truly mean that, we will give in a manner that truly glorifies God. It glorifies God through our love, our thankfulness, and our faith, and our desire to be just like God. Do you remember what has been given to you in Christ? I mean, do you remember, do you think about on a daily basis, not just when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but on a daily basis, do you remember what He's done for you? Do you get up in the morning and think about the fact that Christ died for you? Do you understand the suffering that He endured so that you can sit here this morning with salvation? So that you can sit here this morning and be a child of God? John said, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Do you really understand what manner of love that was? All that He sacrificed. You realize that everything you have in this life materially, everything you earn, if you gave everything you had over an entire lifetime, you would not even begin to touch the hem of the garment of what God did for you in just Jesus Christ. Just take everything else out of the picture, all the blessings that you have, everything else that you've been given, take all that out of the picture and let's just focus on one gift, and that's Jesus Christ, and everything you will ever have in this life will not be even close to what God did for you that day at Calvary. It is a life that was taken for you. My friends, giving shows who you are. And the question we have to ask ourselves, who am I? And it's not an answer of words. It will be an answer of action. This morning as you ask yourself, who am I? Maybe that answer is, I'm a sinner. Maybe that is an answer that says, I haven't taken hold of what God did for me that day on Calvary. I haven't shown my thanksgiving to Him in obedience and taken hold of the salvation that He's offered. It's been wasted on me up to this point in my life. But no more. Not another day. You have the opportunity to change that. You can change this morning from who am I, a sinner, to who am I, a child of God. Because God gave you that opportunity. Give Him your life. You will never regret it. You can do that by believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life as a child of God, having received the greatest gift of salvation, the greatest gift in the world, and that is salvation in Christ Jesus. Maybe when you ask the question, who am I? The answer is, I'm not a very strong Christian, or I'm not a very faithful Christian, or I haven't been really living to God, or I haven't really been thankful to God or loving God as I should. You have an opportunity today, you have an opportunity at all times to pray to God and ask for forgiveness for those things and repent and say, I'm not going to do those things anymore. Instead, I want to be a thankful person. So you may start with, who am I, an unfaithful Christian, but you can leave here today. Who am I? A faithful child of God who's going to live their lives in thankfulness and love to the God who gave so much for me. If we can assist you in any way this morning in coming to those goals, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.